Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the AdDrop Podcast. When you look around college baseball, you will rarely find anyone who is as well respected as my guest today. He's the head baseball coach of Vanderbilt University, Coach Tim Corbin. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, James. Thank you.
Now, Coach, you grew up in Wolfboro, New Hampshire.
I did. Yeah, a little small town in New Hampshire.
That's on Lake Winnipesaukee. Being from Connecticut, I am familiar with the area. It is beautiful.
Well, the only reason you could pronounce Winnipesaukee is because you're from New England. Otherwise, that would be a tough one to pronounce.
When did you first know that baseball would be your chosen path?
I didn't really know until college. I played college baseball, but when I got done, that's when I knew I wanted to teach. And I was a student football coach in college, so I probably could have gone either way, but baseball was more of my love, and the people I was connected to were more in baseball as well. So when I finished college and went back home for 1 year, I ended up becoming a school teacher at my local high school and was a junior varsity baseball coach. But at that point right there, I knew that teaching and coaching were going to be part of my life if I had anything to do with it.
You're in your 21st year at Vanderbilt. Do you still get the nerves, the first game jitters, or is it past that now?
No, I don't think that'll ever change. I think, even being older and having coached for 38 years, you would think that might be the case. I think it's more of controlling of those nerves, but same butterflies, same nerves that I had when I first started out. And that's kind of a good feeling.
When you were starting out, who was a mentor that you could point to as a someone who influenced your career?
I think Coach Wynkin, who was at the University of Maine, he was the first person that I could think about because I actually wanted to play for him, but I wasn't good enough, so I ended up going to a Division III school. But I think guys that I saw on TV back then, and college baseball wasn't as televised like it is today, so ESPN did the College World Series, so that was probably 8 games max, and then the final game was done on CBS, but I think watching those coaches from afar, I felt like I was connected in some way with just their ability to coach in college. I always wanted to be that person that would end up doing those types of things, whether it was in a College World Series format or not. I just felt like guys like Phil Ste or Gene Stevenson at Wichita State, Rod Dedeaux at USC, and older coaches, Ron Frazier at Miami, I felt like they were guys that I held up on a pedestal in terms of people that someday that potentially could be me. And yeah, those were my influences back then.
Now, you helped to build a Presbyterian team that had laid dormant 4 wins in your first year. How did you keep focus while trying to build up to Blue Hopes?
I just was so young. It was just really about trying to survive. We didn't even have a roster, so we were recruiting within the school, and Presbyterian College isn't that big, so you don't have a lot of five-star athletes walking around campus. You might have a few five-star ministers, but you don't have baseball players. So we just recruited a team. We got a few football players. And we played a 24-game schedule all on the road because we didn't even have a field. So we basically played on some field that was more of intramural than athletics, and that became our practice spot. But it was a good way to start. And then the next year we built our field, helped build it, which was an experience in and of itself. And we basically recruited a roster of 20 new players, and that was an experience. But it was more of an experience because at age 25, I was in charge of a program, and whether it was academics, whether it was laundry, whether it was equipment, whether it was ordering, we really didn't have a budget. We didn't have a recruiting budget, and quite frankly, I wasn't paid. I was paid by the I was a dorm director of one of the dorms, so that was my pay. Baseball was just starting, so we didn't have any scholarships. We had financial assistance, but that was about it. So it was a great experience on how to build and be thankful for what you had.
As a leader of men, what core values do you believe transcend baseball?
I just think that, well, all human values to me have significance, and our program is basically based on that. It's trying to take baseball and the skills of baseball, but in having baseball, it's just an opportunity to teach values and human skills to young males who you can help their mentality, you can help their organizational skills, you can build character traits or help build character traits to young men that, they certainly help you in sport, but in terms of long-term value, they help these young men beyond Vanderbilt and beyond baseball. So we've always made that kind of our thing. I mean, I enjoy baseball and I enjoy teaching, but I would tell you that I really enjoy teaching the values of what it's like to be a good human and to be a good male and to be someone that respects things and people in their life. And we spend a great deal of time on that.
Vanderbilt is known for extremely high standards academically. How do you manage to balance the strong education with the athletic component?
Well, I think it's first recruiting that kid. I think it's recruiting someone that wants to be competitive academically too. So, obviously, Vanderbilt is accepting of high caliber kids. So we try to duplicate that in our recruiting process from a baseball standpoint. And I think being a good student athlete is really organization of your mind and making good decisions during the course of the day that are going to allow you to show up to those places, whether it's a classroom or whether it's the baseball field, and be prepared so that you can be competitive. And I think master the art of showing up is as important for these kids as anything else. But I truly, whether it's Presbyterian or my time at Clemson, I was a private school kid myself. I went to Ohio Wesleyan, which was a good private school. I went to prep school for 1 year as a postgraduate. So I guess my mentality is I've always wanted to be around those types of kids. And I like private school kids because I feel like they're wired right. And I feel like they're very competitive in equally academics and athletics.
You have been one of the staunchest proponents of college baseball. There's a quote I'm gonna read to you. They can play professional baseball, but they won't play in meaningful games like this. I just wish they would realize that when they look at college baseball, they understand they won't get this again. You go off and play pro baseball, and that's something special, not like this. When you look at college baseball as someone who has immersed themselves for almost 4 decades in it, what makes college baseball so special?
I think that's that you build an emotion towards a teammate and towards a school and towards a place that is very powerful. And I think if we all understand emotions, and when you do something, you do it better when you do it for people outside of yourself. And I've always felt like trying to build teams and trying to take young men and just completely sell themselves to the team environment is a real special gift because it's felt by them, and it does. It becomes a very strong emotion towards something. And when you start playing in games that where you pull and try to survive moments with the kids that you play with and practice with on a daily basis and go to school with on a daily basis, it becomes very meaningful to you. And I've always enjoyed that. There's something to be said about the 18, 19, 20-year-old kid. I mean, It's, I love college football, and we're not college football, but at the same time, college baseball is very emotional, like college football too. And I just like the childlike behaviors and the childlike attitudes that take place inside of college athletics, and I'm married to it. It's always been fun, and you can see those at the professional level, but typically you see those in playoff stages and in World Series stages towards the end. And I think what makes college athletics unique is they celebrate those moments, and they celebrate them quite naturally. And I like that. The pliability of a young man at 18, 19, and 20 years of age is very intriguing to me, and I love being part of that human spirit.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss three of your players, give quick opinions on it, but that's after a break. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast, Terrence Biggs, with me, Tim Corbin, head baseball coach at Vanderbilt. Coach, three players that come to mind when I look at 2023, Calvin Hewitt, big guy, but yet very athletic. Were you initially surprised at how athletic he is for his size and the fact that he is aggressive, not just in the field, but at the plate?
I think that was kind of one of the pluses for us when we were recruiting Calvin, was he was a good athlete. This kid played soccer, and he was also a very good basketball player at Portsmouth High School in New Hampshire. And I think watching that, and also watching him develop as a baseball player, and looking kind of at this thin frame kid with athleticism, but knowing that he's probably going to be able to put on good weight, which he has. He's almost up. I think he's at about 220 right now, and he can run very well. You start to see what he's able to produce, both physically and mentally too. But I think his athleticism speaks on the field in terms of his base running skills, his anticipatory skills, how he goes after a fly ball in the outfield. He can cover a lot of space. I think guys like that, Terrence, they know how to lay out. They know how to dive without getting hurt, because they've played athletically throughout their life, and they've moved around and contorted their body in ways that other kids haven't. Calvin can do that, but he's really starting to tap into his baseball skills now. And he's an athletic kid from New Hampshire, and you could start to see that come on even last year. But now, being in the program, playing a couple of years of summer baseball, you're starting to see a kid take off.
The next is Carter Holton. His last six starts, he had five earned runs. What changed late in the season, and can he continue this season?
I think the thing about Carter, Terrence, is he makes baseball easy for himself. He just competes. He doesn't overthink things. To me, he's like a 70s pitcher. It's that lefty. He's got kind of a Steve Carlton-ish delivery, although he's not as tall as Steve Carlton, but the arm swing goes back. It's the high front side. He comes over the top. The ball's pretty slippery. It's got some skip to it when it gets into the hitting zone. But I just like Carter because he's nimble mentally. He's nimble athletically. He's got a twitch to him, but I just like him because it's kind of a throwback. It's one of those guys you'd see in a backyard playing baseball, and he's very good at what he does, and he'll get better because his pitch selection, whether it's his fastball, breaking ball, and changeup, they're getting better, but he's commanding them, and he's really learning how to use them.
Lastly, Enrique Bradfield. In one fewer at bat in 2022, he increased his power, he increased his speed numbers and his eye as far as pitch selection. What have you seen from him that makes you believe that this is just the beginning for him?
Just his ability to play and get stronger and understand the game even more. He's got a great acumen for the game. He's a very competitive kid, but I think every time he steps out there, he gets a little bit better with his approach. He gets a little bit better with plate discipline. He's getting stronger. He can impact the ball. He certainly has developed quite a base running acumen, both base running and base stealing. And his defensive skills are, I don't know, Terrence. I mean, they're going to make the bases bigger at the major league level. I think guys like this are going to find their way. They're going to have opportunity because the speed element of the game is going to get pushed back into the major league game. And I think this guy has a place. There's not a lot of center fielders in the game right now that play at the level he does defensively. The ground he can cover, he competes to the ball. He's got great timing skills when he jumps to the ball, whether it's over a fence. He's a special kid. He's a special baseball player, and we're lucky to have him.
Coach Tim Corbin of Vanderbilt, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop podcast.
Terrence, thank you very much. I appreciate talking to you.